Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 38. And, man, I've really enjoyed the small groups and this topic of joy and joy being a choice. Amen. And I remember Pastor Jones years ago saying, you know what, it's not a choice to be happy or to be joyful. It's a choice to be depressed and to be sad. Amen. As Christians, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. That ought to be a given. Amen. How many have enjoyed the topic of joy? Amen. Some of you, I know there's some that still have to go to your small group this week, but man, I hope I don't ruin that tonight with this message. Amen. I got the joy of the Lord, but I'm going to tell you what, I've got a message tonight that, hey, might challenge that. Amen. That's okay. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do tonight. And I want to speak and minister on a topic tonight that I've simply titled Payback. Amen. Payback. Jot it down in your notes. Write it down. Payback. How many know sometimes payback and revenge is something very sweet? Amen. Amen. For those that live in the world, it's very pleasant. Amen. I've been there, and I'm going to tell you it's very pleasant. I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's pleasant. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. We'll open this up with God's word in verse 38. Reading out of the ESV, it says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." I want to read this again, if I could, out of the Living Bible. And it kind of just puts it into modern-day vernacular. And it says in verse 8, the law of Moses says, "If a man gouges out another man's eye, he must pay with his own eye. And if a tooth gets knocked out," anybody ever had a tooth knocked out? Don't raise your hand. Amen. I won't even follow that up with the next question. How and when and why? Was it in a bar? What? Hey, don't answer that. Amen. If a tooth gets knocked out, knock out the tooth of the one who did it. Can I get a big amen? But I say, don't resist violence. If you're slapped on one cheek, turn the other too. And if you're ordered to court, I know some of y'all been in court, and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. And if the military demand that you carry their gear for a mile, carry it too, and give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who would want to borrow. I found a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but there was this diner down in a place called Broken Bow, Nebraska, and this truck driver, he's coming through, he's passing through, and he's not a small man by any means. He's a pretty big guy, and if he were to go toe-to-toe with another person, he could probably handle his own. But this night, he goes into this diner, and he's minding his own business, sits down, orders a meal, and there's three leather-jacketed bikers that begin to harass him. They've probably been liquored up a little bit. They're just these guys that are looking to provoke him to start trouble. And so one walks over, and they begin to have this verbal altercation with this guy. Like I said, he's minding his own business. And three guys, he's not gonna do anything. One guy picks up the hamburger, takes a bite of it. Another one grabs the French fries. Another one grabs the coffee. And the waitress, she's watching to see what the response is going to be. She's getting a little bit nervous, thinking, I'm going to have to call the cops. This thing's going to get ugly real quick. And the trucker, he simply gets up out of his seat, and he walks over and grabs the bill, walks right past him, and he pays for his bill. And she's amazed by this. He doesn't say a word. He's almost like it's a humiliating situation, and he just pays for his check, and he walks out. And so the story goes that the waitress followed him to put money in the till, and she stood watching out the door as the big truck drove away into the night. When she returns, one of the bikers says to her, "Man, that guy was a coward. What kind of man is this?" And she replied, "I don't know about any of that, but he sure isn't much of a truck driver because he just ran over three Harley Davidsons on his way out of the parking lot." Amen. How many know sometimes you can be big and bad, and sometimes you just need to be smart? And when I hear a story like that, you know, I think, you know what? Revenge is sweet. You know, we pull for the underdog. We pull for things like that. Amen. And there's an old saying that says, don't get mad, get even. And, you know, the flesh in us, the nature of man, kind of likes the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You cut me, I'm going to cut you. Man, you do me wrong, you better expect something in return, right? There's going to be some payback. It might not be today. It might not be next week. But I'm telling you, somewhere down the road, I'm going to get some payback. I'm going to get some revenge. And I'm going to have my own personal justice. And for some reason, it just feels good to get payback. Now, here's the problem with this tonight is it's not the Christian thing to do. It's just not very Christian, amen. I'd love to preach this all night. Go get revenge on your enemy, and here, I'll come with you, and I'll help you, you know. You know, I got your back type thing, you know what, and, you know, just that kind of thing. But it's not Christian. Jesus goes and messes it all up, amen. Love your neighbor. Be nice to the one that hates you, you know. Be meek and all this stuff. But let me tell you something about Jesus. One thing you need to know about Jesus, even in the flesh as man, he was not a weak person. When we talk about, just start with the physical part of it, he's a carpenter. He was raised working with his hands. Anybody that's ever worked around construction workers knows that construction workers, amen, and those in the auto body and the mechanics, and they got foul language. That's the word. That's just who they are. He wasn't unfamiliar to those that were working around him in that type of behavior. But Jesus was a man's man. He was a man that physically he could hold his own. There's no question about it. And emotionally, he was held together. And when he preaches meekness, he walked and lived in meekness, but it did not defy him as being a weak person. Understand that tonight, because as a Christian, just to be meek does not mean that we're a doormat for somebody to walk on. It doesn't mean that we take on this persona of being this religious little person that walks around. Man, God brought some of you out of the world. You were crazy in the world. You acted a fool in the world. Nobody messed with you in the world. And when you get saved, amen, with the zeal and the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be just as crazy for Jesus, amen? Jesus was no pushover. He had human emotions. I would imagine he wanted payback at times, but here he challenges us in this text to rise above the natural desire to retaliate and instead do something that is totally against our nature, and that is to forgive and to demonstrate love. To demonstrate love. I mean, it totally takes us out of our comfort zone, totally takes us out of our what we think ought to be done. Goes outside the parameters of our human nature. In Luke chapter 6 and 27 and 28, he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Anybody got enemies in here besides me? Love your enemies. And do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Even when you're in traffic at 5 o'clock rush hour, amen. And they give you the one-fingered wave, amen, and they curse you. Our natural instinct is to respond in like manner. Come on, don't act like you're the holiest bunch in all of Colorado Springs here tonight. Amen. And to bless them. I don't know how you do that, amen, but God bless you, amen. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but God bless you, amen. Bless those who curse you. And that's just not in words, amen, but bless those who curse you, it says, and pray for those who spitefully use you. So let's look at this tonight. In verse 38, he starts off by talking about this law, and he says it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, Jesus was very familiar with the Mosaic law, but what has taken place is as he's dealing with the Pharisees and the Jews, they begin to manipulate and twist and apply things that shouldn't be applied in certain ways. And so he's dealing with this thing in a justice way, but they've turned it into revenge. In Exodus chapter 21 and 24 through 25, it says, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe, And the purpose of this law was to allow the justice system to work. How many know we have a justice system? And I know at times that it can be corrupt and sometimes it seems unfair, but that's set in place, amen, for a reason. It has a purpose for being there, and that's so that people like you and me tonight won't take revenge. Amen. And there's been times when I wanted to take revenge. Yeah, good. Pastor Dustin, yep, that's right. Amen. I'm a human too, and I wanted to take revenge, and I was told, you can take revenge, but you better plan on visiting your kids through a monitor, talking to them on a telephone, or looking at them through a plate glass window. Is that what you want to do? Leave it to the justice system, or leave it to God, because God said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. It's not up to you. It's not in your hands. It's not your decision to take that in your hands. Amen. And so he's dealing with it in this matter of justice, but he says the problem here isn't the justice part of it that the Jews and the Pharisees are talking about. The problem is the attitude of your heart. That stems from somewhere. There's bitterness, there's hurt, there's anger, there's unforgiveness there, and it all comes bubbling out, and he's dealing with the attitude of the heart. And let me tell you something, friend, tonight, that's a serious issue. When we begin to talk about the heart, it's a serious issue. So Jesus is dealing with it. In verse 39, he begins to talk about the reaction. Turn the other cheek. Now Jesus is starting to get right down where we live today because, folks, this is Victory World Outreach. Amen. And I don't know how many of you come from an affluent, upper class, very religious and holy upbringing, but I can tell you one thing tonight. Many of you come from broken lives and broken homes, tough and rough backgrounds, and that's okay, amen. We preach the gospel to all people, amen. And sometimes all people includes those that have a broken past, some coming from the streets, some that abuse drugs and alcohol, some from abusive relationships, and many times it's a survival instinct that, hey, if you hit me, I'm hitting back. That's the kind of people I'm talking to tonight. Am I lying? Amen. Some of y'all been saved 20 years, and you're like, no, you straight up telling the truth. Amen. It still applies to me. Amen. And it applies to me also tonight. Jesus knows this, and he gets right down where we live, and he begins to deal with this thing. And as I began to look at this and think about it, I thought, you know what, this is more than just somebody slapping you or hitting you and you turn the other cheek. Because I think that we have a right to defend ourselves, amen? Now, there are circumstances where if somebody hits you, then yes, that's the right thing to do. Turn the other cheek, walk away. And if they hit you again, the Bible doesn't say anything about hitting you twice. It just says turn the other cheek once. Hey, you have a right to defend yourself. And some of you women, don't let that man hit on you like you're a punching bag. I got a bicycle chain I can loan you. Sometimes when you fight, you can't fight fair, amen, if they're bigger than you. But we know how to level the ground. Amen. We're going to have an altar call, and I'll be the first one down there, I promise. I promise. But think about this tonight. Let's look at this from a different perspective, amen. He's not talking about self-defense. The debate was, did the eye for an eye command apply to trivial matters such as a slap in the face? So you have to understand that in Jesus' day in the Middle East, if somebody were to slap you on the cheek, that was the ultimate insult. Even today in Arab cultures and Arab countries, one of the worst insults that they can do is to have a shoe thrown at you. Does anybody remember when George Bush was giving a press conference, I think it was, and he was over in the Middle East, I think it was Iraq, and one of the reporters takes his shoe off and throws it at the president of the United States. And we think, man, that's stupid, man. You're throwing a shoe? But to the rest of the Arab world, it made a statement that that was one of the biggest insults. And you might remember when they overthrew Iraq and they overthrew Saddam Hussein, that all these Arabs jumped up on the statues of Saddam Hussein and they had their shoes off and they were hitting the statue with their shoe because that was one of the worst insults. Well, he's saying here that to be slapped in the cheek was to be insulted. Think about that. I'm not talking about self-defense. He's dealing, again, with the heart of the matter and the person that retaliates. Man, you've been wrong. You've been insulted. Somebody said something about you. Man, they lied about you. But Jesus says love doesn't retaliate. Love doesn't retaliate. That's a tall order. That's a hard pill to swallow. Because in our very nature, in our flesh, we want to retaliate. We want them to hurt like we hurt. We want them to pay like we pay. We want to insult them like they insulted us. And anybody and everybody knows that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will. But let me tell you something, words do hurt. And a person can recover from a black eye and a cut or whatever, but words will stay with you for a very long time. And you'll never forget them, and they leave scars that hurt. But love doesn't retaliate. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12, 19 through 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Let me tell you, God watches, God keeps good books, and God takes vengeance. It's right there. Leave it to God. Let God deal with it. If God wants to, besides that, the Bible says to pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't feed him ground hamburger with rat poison in it. Amen. That's not what it says, to feed him. Amen. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What is Jesus trying to tell us tonight? He's trying to tell us, you know what? You need to let it go. We've heard message after message on forgiveness and unforgiveness. And let me tell you something. The devil does not let go easy. There's a reason we preach on 70 times 7, 490 times, because you got to continue. It's a continual effort, because the devil won't let you forget it. And there's many times when you got to say, you know what, I dealt with that last week at the altar, but all of a sudden something triggers that memory and that emotion on the inside of you, and Jesus says, hold on a minute, 70 times 7, you got to forgive. You got to forgive. It's a continual thing. Because let me tell you something tonight, bitterness will choke the life out of you. Let me say that again. Bitterness will choke the life out of you. Someone said bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And I can tell you tonight, unforgiveness and resentment are destructive. It hurts you. It'll take its toll on your body. Physically, you'll begin to see a change in a person that will not forgive somebody. They hold on to that. Mentally, they're tormented. Emotionally, their emotions are all over the place because of something that's deep-rooted down on the inside, and it affects them. And spiritually, man, it'll stunt your growth. It'll hinder what God has for you in your life. He has great things. He has wonderful plans. And the best is yet to come. But as long as we will not let this thing go, God can't perform that in our life. God can't do that in your life. Warren Wiersbe writes, the worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. If we refuse to offer to others the gift of mercy and understanding, if we refuse to acknowledge that others like ourselves are just people, we are only locking ourselves up in a small cell of bitterness where we will wallow in our own torment. The answer to all of this is not an answer we want to hear tonight. That's why I said in the beginning, hey, you got joy? Amen. I hope you got joy by the time you leave the end of the service. Because listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, do you love your enemies? Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons to your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the very nature of God, is to love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God looked out on you when you were a mess and you messed up, and you had sin, and you were carrying around this burden and this baggage, and whatever it was, God looked out, and instead of condemning you and judging you, amen, he had mercy and compassion, and he saved you and delivered you and set you free. That's a loving God. You didn't deserve it. Nobody on earth would give you that second chance, but God. And that's the nature that we ought to have. That's to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You say, well, how do I do that? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ. It's what he did at the cross. Amen. And as we begin to apply that to our life, I'm going to tell you something. We would be surprised at what God can do. And that's why I love hearing testimonies, to hear of where people had been. And now look, you'd never even know that they lived in that kind of a lifestyle because they've adopted and taken on this identity of Jesus Christ. What it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a believer, Christ operating in them. You can forgive. You can love because God helps you to love. Can you say amen? Verse 40, it says, let him have your coat also. So being slapped deals with insult, but here I believe what this is talking about is being taken advantage of. And he's talking about a legal issue, and it's someone that's being sued in a court of law. We've heard of having your pants suit off you. This guy's having his jacket suit off of him, amen? And the insinuation is that he's been unjustly taken advantage of. Anybody ever been taken advantage of? Somebody promised you something, somebody lied to you, somebody burned you, somebody took advantage of you, they manipulated you, they used you. And that's what this is saying. He's saying that in life there are going to be people that will burn you and hurt you, and they'll take advantage. And again, our retaliation is extremely important. Do we forgive and bless them, or do we retaliate against them? Two things that are important here. He's saying it's better to suffer a small loss than have an attitude of revenge. And secondly, I like this, when we give more and we go above and beyond, it changes the whole dynamic of the relationship. Do something that they don't expect. They've used you. They've taken advantage of you. They owe you money. Amen. Do something they don't expect. Go above and beyond and do what the Christian thing to do. I'm not saying what that is because I don't know what it is, but if they owe you money, do something like forgive them and then give them a $100 bill. And let me tell you something, it'll totally change the dynamic. I'm not saying it'll fix everything, but all of a sudden, God begins to work in them because God's working in you. Amen. Let him have your coat also. Verse 41, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So here's the crazy thing. The first to deal with the law and justice being served, but the second one isn't required by law. According to Roman law, in Jesus' day, that if a Roman soldier was walking with his gear, he could demand of a citizen to carry his gear 1 mile. But beyond 1 mile, that person was not obligated to carry it anymore. But Jesus is saying, don't just stop at the 1 mile, but go the second mile. And there's all kinds of things that could happen in that. Could be that there would be an opportunity to share the gospel with that person. But what he's saying here is 1 mile was by obligation. How many know we do a lot of things by obligation? And I'm not talking about things we just have to do, but we do certain things because we know they're right, but we also do them out of obligation. Amen? That's one of the reasons I like small group. You know, because we come into this intimate setting. We're getting to know each other. We're in our second session of small groups. We actually have some of the guys that have joined from the last group. We're beginning to know each other, and we're starting to know about some of the details in each other's lives. You know, as we're growing together as men, we're bonding. I started thinking, you know, had I not had this small group or this opportunity, I never would have known these things about these certain people. And we met last night and brought in prayer requests, and they began to open up their heart and share their heart. And we came together, we prayed. Amen. That's our obligation to pray, right? It's our obligation. If somebody's suffering, somebody's hurting, it's our obligation to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. But going the second mile says, you know what, I'm not just going to pray for you, but I'm going to rearrange my schedule. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to go above and beyond because this is not just any person. This is my brother or sister in Christ. And that might mean any number of things. It might mean we buy them groceries or we get them a Walmart card or we say, you know what, I'm going to pick you up so you can make that on time. Amen. I'm going to help you with resources, financially. Those are things going above and beyond, going that second mile and seeing the need. How many appreciate small groups? Amen. I appreciate them. I know God's doing something very special in that. I want to finish with this tonight, and that's this. We started out with Jesus being a man's man, a man of human emotions. But can I tell you something? Jesus practiced what he preached. Last night in our small group, we began to talk about the cross. And as I began to talk about the cross, the Holy Spirit began to tug on my heart. And I'm not a big crier, amen. I'm especially in front of other guys, amen. But as I began to talk about the cross, I got choked up. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but man, when you begin to talk about the fact that you're so unworthy, some people think they deserve it. I'm going to tell you, I'm the total opposite. I deserve hell and for it to open up its mouth wide and to swallow me down. But God didn't see me like that. And everything he did at the cross, everything he did, he took it at the cross. He took my pain. He took my guilt. He took my shame. He took my sin. He took that addiction. Whatever it was, he took it and he paid for it. He became that substitute. If anybody had a reason to call down a host of angels or fire from heaven to devour, it was Jesus. Amen. He demonstrated this love that we're talking about. They slapped him on the cheek. They punched him. They spit on him. They mocked him. They called him names. They verbally abused him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Think about this. The Son of God, he was a man, and he's there. He's bleeding, and he took it all. He never retaliated. He took it like a man. I mean, that's just tremendous tonight. He lived what he preached. He gave his cloak. The Bible says they stripped him naked to humiliate him, and they gambled for his robe, and he lived what he preached. He went the extra mile. He went all the way to Calvary, to the cross, not out of obligation. No. We talked about him coming and God having a purpose. No question about it. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he did it for one reason and one reason only, because he loved you. He went the extra mile. And they nailed him to that cross. And his very last words as he was about to take his last breath was simply this: Father, forgive them. You got one sinner on one side, one thief on one side who's cursing and making and yelling, and then you got the other one saying, have mercy on me. What a man. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want that. I want that. I don't want the world to define me. I don't want the world to dictate my actions or how I react. I want God to do a work on my heart to where I conform to the image of Christ, and if somebody spitefully uses me or hurts me or betrays me or does any number of things, I can respond like Jesus would respond and demonstrate forgiveness and love. I'm not saying it's easy, folks. It's not. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to work on our heart, it's possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say amen? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, just in reverence to God as we dismiss here in a few minutes. I want to open up these altars. And, you know, I'll tell you, every time they minister or preach on unforgiveness, I don't know if you're like this, but I feel like they're looking right at me. Amen. Or they say, you know what, if you do this or you forgive and this is going to happen. And like, why are you looking at me, you know? That's just the Holy Ghost putting his finger down on my heart. And just recently, I finally said, you know what, God, I need to take action. And I've forgiven in my heart 70 times 7, day after day. And I said, God, I don't want to be held back and miss what you have for me. because of this deep-rooted bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And I did what I was supposed to do, and I went to that person, and I said, I forgive you. And from this day forward, I'm not going to pick it up. I'm not going to use it against you. Something broke that day. Something broke. Like I said, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's like the clouds parted. I've had this darkness over my life, and I let it go. I just let it go, and I say, God, it's yours now. And it's a shame that it takes people a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. Because like I said, it's God has so much more for you. Don't retaliate. Don't get payback. Don't even expect God to pay back the way you think he ought to pay back. Amen. But watch what God will do. God will do a miracle in your life. He'll begin to heal you mentally. He'll begin to touch your emotions physically. God will begin to reverse certain things. And God will help you. All because you said, God, I'm going to do it your way and not my way. And I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey you. God's speaking to hearts in this place tonight. God wants to help some people. God wants to help some people. God wants to demonstrate his love to you tonight. Wrap his arms around you. He loves you. All over this place, from front to back, with every head bowed, you say, you know what? Preacher, I need help. I've got things. I've got areas in my life that I've neglected to deal with. And tonight, I want to make it right with God. I need Jesus. If that's you, quickly, put your hands up and put it right back down. Say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. How many more? You say, that's me. Real people. God bless you. Honest people tonight. Honest people tonight. How many more? You'd say, that's me. I'm backslidden in my heart. I've got unforgiveness in my heart. I've got things that I've refused to let go, but tonight I'm going to deal with it. If that's you, quickly, quickly, put your hand up and put it right back down. Say, that's me. That's me. I want to let it go. I want to be free from this. God bless you. Many hands raised. We're all going to stand to our feet in this place tonight. We're going to sing this chorus through. As we begin to stand, let's come out of our seat. We're going to open up these altars. Let's find a place tonight, amen, and let's let God do what only he can do, amen. Let's pray.